This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast. Today in season 4, episode 85, I invite elite female marathoner Tara Palm onto the show. Tara is one of Australia's top all-time elite female marathoners with an incredible 2:32 PB in the event. She also boasts a 1:10 in the half marathon and certainly is targeting these events in more recent years. Tara and I kick off the conversation discussing the recent news of Faith Kipyegon's sub-4-minute mile attempt and Ruth's recent news, Ruth Chepngetich, her positive drug test has only come out that news in the last 24 hours. We then get on to Tara's background and training weeks, and she finishes by talking about nutrition in that marathon and half marathon and her future running moving forward, where she plans to run the Sunny Coast Half and the Berlin Marathon. I hope you enjoy the episode. Awesome. Well, I welcome Tara Palm to the Local Legends in Running podcast today. So welcome, Tara.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm looking forward to it. By the way, it's 19th of July, 1:26 p.m. here in Brisbane. You're in Adelaide, so half an hour behind, but I very much look forward to this because I've had as I mentioned to you off air, Tara, a Road 2 series, the Gold Coast Half, happening for the last few months. So I fit Aussie elite male runner Isaac Hayne in between those conversations with a few close running friends of mine on that particular series, but looking forward to getting back into the individual one-on-one episodes. So I hope that you feel the same passion today.
Thank you. Absolutely, thank you. And I did Gold Coast Half Marathon as well this year, and I had a lot of my training partners travel up to the Gold Coast as well, and I love the Road 2 series because I know within our groups, you know, we all go through, some of us have good performances. I've had one of my training partners got injured sort of just before the race, and it's interesting to hear everyone's journey leading up to a performance.
Yeah, and we also spoke off air about both of us, our third quickest times ever, all time. But you were about 5 minutes ahead of me at 1:12, wasn't it? You've been as fast as 1:10 just last year at Osaka. And if I just summarise the last 2 years to give a taste to the listeners about your ability. I guess the base of my listeners are probably Brisbane based, but we have listeners all over the country and even the world at times to these podcasts. So 2025 has been a massive year with that Osaka half. That was this year, sorry, wasn't it? The 1:10.
Yep.
And
January.
The marathon as well within there. Now that I've got to clarify for listeners too, the Osaka half and marathon events are at different times, aren't they?
Yeah, so the Osaka half was at the end of January, and the full was the end of February on a Monday.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, most of the Australian events are multi-events on that, couple days over a weekend or even a single day. So it's interesting. And the Ballarat half marathon too, you've been there the last 2 years. That's sort of starting to boom, isn't it? Particularly down south. It's got a lot of airtime on podcasts, particularly the Inside Running podcast, trying to promote that event. And looks like a pretty quick event. You've been there at a 113 this year and 112 I had on the books. But last year too, you PB'd the marathon at Osaka as well. You've enjoyed being there, of course. And then a 3 second PB, just over 6 months later at Berlin. So that must have been an awesome experience at Berlin. But 23, have I got this correct? You debuted your marathon.
Yeah, so I debuted in Berlin 23. I actually had done two marathons before that. Like I won the Adelaide Marathon twice, but they were more at a training effort kind of more of a training effort type run. So I did about 250 or so. So there's a little bit of debate about whether Berlin was my debut, but I'd say it was my first all out kind of, and I felt so satisfied when I finished. So I just thought I finally got the opportunity to run a marathon to like the best of my abilities, because in Adelaide I was sort of doing it as lead ups to other events.
Yeah, 100%. And as naturally as the journey runners take you, you targeted those 5 and 10K events a number of years ago. It definitely seems like the training and racing has been geared towards the half and the marathon. And by way of agenda today, Tara, I'll just touch on a bit about yourself to get listeners acquainted with you, but also those running achievements we don't often see. You know, the PBs can often be easier to find, but those running achievements, like I found that the Sea to Surf win that you had there too, like that's the thing, things we want to hear about those experiences there. And and then look at your running upbringing. You've been running for so long, and I assume you've been talking about your background on various platforms and podcasts over the years. I've of course followed your journey to a degree, being a huge fan of running, but then also just looking at your training week and how that sort of adapted and changed to the half and marathon training, and sort of your philosophies around that. There's quite varying viewpoints and training setups for the marathon, even across the country, I find. And then look at what's coming up for Tara this year and beyond.
Sounds great.
Awesome. Hey, let's just touch on some running news quickly, because there's been some pretty big things happening out there. Before I get to the one of most recent, the Faith Kipyegon sub 4 minute mile attempt. Were you up in the early hours of the morning to witness this attempt?
I actually didn't get up in the early hours, but I did go back and watch it. I kind of my thinking was before it happened, I very much thought that I loved the project, but I didn't think she'd be able to get it, only because her 1500 PB was 3:48, and I know that if you look at men's times and equivalent performances, I think 1500 meter runners who can run the sub 4 minute mile are usually breaking about 3:45. So I thought it was going to be a bit more of a stretch than was possible, but I did love the I really enjoyed following like Elliot's sub 2 hour project. I thought that was so motivational because it sort of brought together so like science and running and runners and people involved in the sport from all over the world, like working for this one project. And it seems like, you know, that's when breakthroughs can happen, at least in science and medicine, other areas, when you have people from all areas working together. And I was and you know, he had the first attempt, he didn't make that. But then the next attempt when they did it around the Prater or the park in Vienna, I've actually raced there twice in 2018 and 2019. I did this race called the Frauenlauf, and I love watching it because I'd run there before, and I thought it was so inspiring to see like Faith doing this as well, for representation and for, you know, testing what is possible and finding limits. And so I didn't think she was going to get it, but I respected and loved following the attempt.
Yeah, as did I. And it was a 4:06, 42 her time, which was only about a second quicker than her PB and world record. But yeah, quite a far cry from that sub 4 minutes. I just wonder how you sort of see this attempt, or where women sit in relation to this 4 minute mile moving forward. Is it years or decades away in your mind?
I mean, I think it's still a long time until it happens. I think until the, like, I think if the 1500 meter times can come down to 3:45 or below, which I think is still going to be some time until that's happening, because I mean the mile is I think 1609 meters, so you have to be I wouldn't say never, because if you look at what's happening now in women's running to what things were like 40 years ago, what we're doing now seems impossible, but I think it's still a little way away.
Yeah, I think I agree with that. I just think, yeah, we're not just there yet. And the shorter we go with those attempts, the less impact all those advancements and things at Nike or whoever's going to support these things moving forward, you know, that impact is less, isn't it? The
Yeah.
marathon compared to only 1609 meters.
Yeah, I guess also maybe the track compared to the road, like we're still running in spikes, and it's funny, like, because the VTEP doesn't go within World Athletics rules, but the World Athletics rules with track shoes are they have to be, I think, just a centimeter of foam, whereas like in the road, you know, we see more almost innovation in shoes on the road compared to on the track, just because there's more foam and plate and I guess room for innovation.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, agree. And of course, most recently, Ruth Trepangetich, which was the unfortunate news of her testing positive to a diuretic. And for those listeners who don't know what that is, it's basically a drug that increases your urine output to potentially mask other drugs. We don't know anything about that at this point in time, but only in the last, 24 hours, this has come to the air. And it's something called, I'm a chemistry teacher, Tara, so the pronunciation wasn't too hard for me, but it's called hydrochlorothiazide, which is that diuretic which potentially can cover things. But it was basically a positive test after that marathon, so we can't go back and retract things in hindsight, but it does sort of taint the name at times when these things come out, don't they?
Absolutely. And I thought when that performance happened is I can't get my head around it. It's just so fast, sub 2:10 for a woman to run. And it's great that, I mean, I guess it's positive that she got caught, but getting caught for a diuretic, it doesn't really tell the full story of what's happening. And I dare say often the ban for diuretic is only 2 years, which I don't really think is like adequate. It's not very long considering she might have already started serving it already. And for me, it just as an athlete, it makes me just feel really sad because you like to think that you're on a level playing field. And I think the effects of it within the sport, I know, like a friend of mine, Lindsay Flanagan, trained here in Adelaide for a while, and she's from Chicago, and she came ninth at Chicago Marathon. And, you know, maybe she would have been eighth, and sure, there would have been a lot more prize money for eighth place and ninth place. And just feels like the effects of it kind of they ripple down and carry through the sport. And even we try to run, like, you know, there's qualifying times, and if you know qualifying times are partially benchmarked off, you know, like world records and the top end of the performances, and just yeah, the effects ripple down, and it's sad.
Oh yeah, particularly from an elite point of view, for someone like me who's a faster recreational runner, it doesn't really affect me other than my viewpoint on it, which is obviously a negative connotation. But does it kind of like, although you're running for places at times and trying to make money at times, does it make it more of like an individual pursuit in the sense that you're just trying to get better and better as an individual now?
I just find like her world record is just such a outlier even to the other world records, and it makes it hard to just wrap my brain around how fast it is, to the point that it's not that inspiring because it is just so unbelievable.
Yeah, 100% agree with that. Hey,
Sorry.
let's move along here because we can talk for hours, and
Yeah, we could.
I'm sure we'll find out more about that. As you alluded to, it's a couple year potential suspension, and they're looking into it. She's going to come back to a hearing to put some other things forward if she can. And yeah, it would be interesting to see how that fares moving forward. But if we get to you, Tara, with just locationally, I spoke about Adelaide as where you live. If that was your upbringing from young age, if you're happy to talk about your sort of age and running age, if that's comfortable for you, and yeah, family setup, pets, even all that stuff, hobbies and things that buy time.
Yeah, from Adelaide my whole life. So born here, grew up here. I started running when I was in high school, so that was in 99, so it's a long, long time ago now. And been doing it since then. My living arrangement is I have a really supportive partner who runs a little bit now, but used to run more competitively himself. And I certainly wouldn't be running if it wasn't for all of his support. What I do outside of running is like you, I'm a teacher, so I'm a biology teacher,
Oh, I
so
didn't know this. Yeah,
yeah.
right.
And before teaching, I did a degree in nutrition and dietetics, but then went back and did secondary teaching. So I sort of have fluctuated with how much teaching I do and how much running, sort of getting that balancing act right. So the last few years, I've been doing a bit more contracts and relief teaching, but still in the teaching game.
Yeah, very good. Hey, if we get to your PVs to start with, again, just to kick off the conversation about anything from what 3,000? Have you run sort of anything competitively across the 15 and 800 earlier days?
No, not well. Not that
Yes,
I want to talk about.
if you start from the 3,000, what are those PBs? You've mentioned the marathon and quickly the half. What about the three? What three, five, and 10 then?
So 3,000 is 9:11, which I did in Box Hill, I think,
Yes.
2018. 5K is 15:38, which I did at Nationals in Sydney 2019. And 10K is on the road is
Yeah, great.
32:14, which I did in Launceston. Then the half marathon was this year, which is great. That's 70:55 in Osaka, and the marathon's 32, sorry, 2 hours, 32 minutes and 22 seconds in Berlin.
Awesome. And the 10K track.
10K track, I never felt like I've done a really good one, but 32:55 at Zatopek, I
Yeah,
think
right. Yes, so slower
2020.
than the road PB.
Yeah, slower than the road. And I have done a 32:40 before, but in a mixed race, so it doesn't count officially.
Yeah, okay. And your time to shine here, Tara. We spoke about the Sea to Surf win. What other achievements would you put in there that you look back in fondness about?
The City to Surf win was a huge one. I felt so elated when you get to, because you get to run all the way down the hill, sort of into Bondi,
Yeah, I've
and
been there.
I was kind of thinking, like, stay on my legs. I'm winning the race. This is unbelievable. And that just blew me away with how huge sort of the aftermath was. I mean, I feel proud of, like, when I ran 15:38 on the track, I was so proud of that, but no one knew about that. But when I won the City to Surf, I got back to work as a teacher, and all the teachers at work were like, oh, we saw you on Sunrise TV. And it was just a blast. It blew me away with how big it was. Other achievements would be, came second in the Melbourne Half Marathon in 2019. I've come second in the Adelaide City to Bay. I've been to World Cross Country Championships. I was selected to go to the World Road Running Championships in 2020, but we weren't able to go because of COVID. And then I got to do the World Road Running Championships in 2023 in Riga. So I've been fortunate to have a few Australian representations. So I think what I'm really proud of is just that I've had a very long running career, longer than I possibly imagined it would be when I started. And I feel like I've been pretty consistent and getting better maybe as I get older as well.
Yeah, and that's Sea to Surf. The runners who I guess are new to this sport wouldn't really, unless they've obviously picked it up and followed it or looked at its history over the years, would recognize that it was the run. And it still obviously has a lot of, I guess, aura around it, but where it has come from, it's been televised for a number of years. It's been so popularly attended as well. It's a unique distance, 14K, and just that brand, Sea to Surf, has kind of stemmed out to different cities over time till this day. I'm not sure of the exact founding year of that, unless you do, but it's been around for a long time, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I'm not sure of the exact year either, but they have a perpetual trophy and it's got a lot of names on there, probably 40 years or so, I'm not sure. And it
Oh,
just,
yeah.
the start just looks, it's so many. I think they sell something like 80,000 entries. I don't get quite that many people there on the day, but the start is just, there's so many ways, just all these people. It's amazing.
Yeah, well, let's wind back the clock then and get back to that running, even within school time, which is winding the clock back a bit, I know, Tara, but and then looking at even those earlier days outside of school, which might get your reflective mind ticking over here, but happy to head back as far as that.
Yeah. So I started running in high school. For me, when I was young, I played netball and I loved netball. It was really fun, but I'm pretty short, so I'd sort of try really hard, and I just knew I was never going to get in higher teams because they don't need that many short players in a team. And I just thought this is fun, but not can't really go anywhere in this sport. I can't develop anywhere. And then I had teachers at school and they ran this program at school called Early Morning Run Group. And I went out to that and did a few competitions. And sure enough, I think my second or third competition, I made the state team, which was a state cross country team. The trip was to Darwin in 99. And I think from that point, I was kind of hooked on running because I just felt like it was a sport where I could like grow and explore my potential within it.
Yeah, so did you sort of start to single out running as a sport then at the end of high school? Were there others? Was netball all the way through there to the end?
I netball as soon as running came along, netball got just dropped straight away. So that was like my first year of high school, and I started running, and then I did running all through high school. So I competed for my school. I joined a local club, and every year I was doing mainly cross country running through the winter and a bit of road running, track running. I did a lot of steeplechases when I was younger, and representing the school, representing the club I joined, Flinders Athletics Club at the time. And I was fortunate that I was kind of good enough to make some state teams, and never did that well at nationals as a junior, but I loved being there. And I got my first running coach when I was at school, who's passed away now, Toby Schreier, and he sort of coached me all through my high school.
Yeah, so obviously you're a marathoner now, but you weren't a marathoner back in school. Could you give us an idea of like the running times that you were running back then?
The running scene was so different back then
Oh
because
yeah.
back when I started running, it was a big deal when I got a Nike stopwatch. So that basically just had a stop start
Oh yeah.
function. We didn't have any GPS. I used to get my parents to go out in the car and measure the runs that I'd do. So I'd have some idea, which was completely inaccurate, as to how far I was jogging. So I thought that I was training really hard because I guess another thing that didn't exist in running back was in high school. We didn't have Strava, we didn't have social
No.
media. So I was probably only running about 30, 40 Ks a week maximum, I think. But I thought that was really, really hard, really hard training because you just didn't have, I mean, there were some magazines and things you'd read, but you just couldn't compare what you could only compare what you were doing to other people within the group that you were training with, so to speak, unless you went away on a training camp, something like that. So I'd sort of do interval kind of sessions, like with a group, like 3, 4 times a week, and a few little jogs from myself at home. And I thought that was pretty hard training. And at the time, it was.
Yeah, you kind of forget about it, hey, because we're a similar age, Tara, and I just have no memory of what watch I wore on my wrist, or if I even wore a watch, and shoes, like what shoes I was wearing, and it really has changed from that front. What about the actual running times? Like, have you got memory of what you're doing a 1500 or a 3K or 6K, whatever the distance was back then for you?
I remember a few of my times. So I think my 3K was about 11 minutes low. My steeplechase was about, I think I did a 2K steeple in 7:26. I remember that from, I think, a national, so I was pretty proud of that one. I did the City to Bay, which is a 12K race here, probably longer than I should have been running at that age, but I did it in about 49 minutes.
Yeah, and hey, just to double check here, you were in Adelaide at this point too as a kid as
Yes.
well. Yeah, so yeah, post high school then, those first sort of handful of years as you're still sort of working out adulthood and all those things, how'd the running look then, and did the obviously the coach change, but who was that and how did the training set up look for you?
Yeah, so I guess when I finished high school, I kind of decided that I wanted to try and get a little bit more serious with my running, and I had a period where I was sort of just running by myself, and I felt like I just gravitated more towards like slightly longer volume training. And I went to a different coach, Gary Zuna, and then I started racing 5K on the track, kind of became my focus during that. When I started university, I guess early 20s type period.
Yeah, and any runners now that you sort of are out there with running now that you were sort of training with in Adelaide at all? Obviously, Adelaide has some fantastic runners that come out of it. Well, we see most of them probably from the southern areas of Melbourne, don't we?
Yeah, we've got some amazing talent here in South Australia, particularly in the women's. Like I think at the Gold Coast half marathon, it was the national championships there, and SA women, we would have won the championships pretty comfortably. So
Yeah.
they've got Caitlin, Jess, Izzy Batdoz, the half marathon Australian record holder. Another young runner, Tiana, ran 73 minutes. So there's a lot of talent here. The squad that I run with now is the Adelaide Harriers, and I still have like really close friends from when I started running when I was a kid. But I generally just catch up with them for sort of casual jogs now because their life and schedule is really busy with kids. So it's trying to fit in jogs and coffees with them kind of when I can.
Yes. Hey, that marathon's only come in recent years, hasn't it? I guess a half a bit early. But what was biding time in between there? And what sort of do you look back at feel like was more of a breakthrough or the point where you thought, hey, I might try this longer stuff here? You know, late 20s, that kind of time of your life.
Yeah, so during my 20s, I feel like I had a lot of success, but I had a lot of struggles as well too. So I was really trying to sort of burn the candle at all ends in my life kind of thing. So I was studying at university, I was working casual jobs, I was trying to train at a really high level, and I had some success. I made like some world cross country championships teams, and I came third in at nationals in the 5K, but I also had some really tough injuries. So partial rupture of my Achilles tendon and surgeries. And I think as I sort of moved into my 30s, my training kind of just changed a little bit more, and then I learned to sort of respect the recovery a bit more. And think the earlier part of my 30s, I was still focused on running well on the track, but I've just kind of moved, probably the last 5 years or so, moved towards the longer events.
Yeah, so what sort of like was pushing you along to motivate you to get back into the running post injury and all those challenges with was were you teaching back then as well, Tara? Or was this a different yes, and just casually?
No, so when I've had like when I, in the past when I've been injured for long periods of time, I've gone into teaching more properly, which has been like a really positive thing to have something else to redirect my time and energy and focus towards.
Yeah, because that late 20s of your life for many runners is a hard one with work. You know, some people have kids and that kind of thing, and the running disappears, and then you're going to throw in injuries as much or as significant as a partial rupture of your Achilles tendon. What got you through that, and what was it just to come back to be as competitive as you could, or did you start to also realize like with life without running and how that impacts you day to day even? And how you feel mentally, emotionally, all those things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think when I had the like Achilles issues, like I had to focus on life aside from running, and is like you really learn like a lot about yourself, and it's a tough challenge. So I mean, after the surgery, like you know, I couldn't shower properly, couldn't make myself a cup of tea kind of thing for a few weeks, and in a moon boot for 8 weeks, and I wasn't sure if I'd run again. So it was a really slow sort of journey back to being able to run, and then to beyond running, being able to run competitively at my best again.
Yeah, and what sort of, again, if I go back to sort of a run that sticks in your mind that post that injury that stands out to, you know, you look at that point in the injury and think, oh, in a few, in a year or so, or a couple of years, whenever that point was, I want to be somewhere. Was there a point that you can think of in a 10K or even 5K that comes to mind post that injury where you
I
feel
think
like you're getting back to where you?
initially, like I struggled with the Achilles for so long that initially my goal was just like I would just feel so much joy if I could just go for a 10K jog and it was pain-free. Like that was just my initial goal, was just to feel that, not even race. I just wanted to feel that just joy that I feel when I run and to not have like pain in my body. But then of course, once I sort of got back to that pain-free jogging point, I'm kind of pretty competitive with myself, and then I, you know, runners, we love seeing progress, and then I kept on building on that and inevitably got right back.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people who don't run particularly understand with injuries, that it's just something that you do almost every day at your level, and it's just taken away from you so quickly, and how that affects everything else in your life.
Yeah, it's tough for your partners as well, being around an injured runner. And I was able to cross train and still do other things to keep me active, but yeah, I'm a runner. I've just my goal was just to get back running and be pain free. And I think, oh, ultimately, that's, I mean, if your health, and I think that's something I didn't appreciate enough when I was in my 20s. Just I just thought my sort of strategy was just work harder, get better. And working harder, if you work too hard, it doesn't always make you better. Like you have to be, you know, you have to be healthy, you have to be pain free, and you've got to respect the recovery to ultimately be able to get the most out of yourself.
Yeah, I guess as we continue through the history here of Tara, we're going to get to the current training. But if we just fast forward a couple of years from that point in time, when did the thought of moving up to the half a marathon come into place? And was there a shift in mileage as well for the week to change to adapt to that kind of duration of race?
It kind of happened to so 2018, 2019, I was even went to Europe to try and do track running, and I felt like I'd kind of reached a limit with my track running. I think to like if you look at what the elite women do now in the 5K, they are so unbelievable, they are so fast, and I'm a good 5K runner, but my 1500 isn't fast enough. And I think that I kind of just I like long running in my training, so I just kind of started to shift up a bit in 2018, 2019, and then I think I had a bit of success in road running. So the like City to Surf, like winning that, I kind of thought, well, that's 14K and it's a
Yeah,
hilly
true.
14K. Like maybe it's not so much of a stretch to do a half marathon from there. And then I did my first half in Melbourne half, and that went really well. And I think I just feel like road running, I get such a buzz because with track, like Zatopek and like National 5K, you're there and you're competing against, say, I don't know, maybe 15, maybe 20 other women. But on the road, you're there with thousands of people, and everyone's got their different like goals and motivations. And you know, the marathon, the half marathon, it's tough. It's a challenge for everyone, and it just really, I get a real buzz from doing the road races now. So yes, I started to shift up to the half marathon. I certainly wasn't thinking of marathon in 2018, 2019. And then, of course, COVID came along, and
Yes.
I think that pushed a lot of people into marathon running a bit more because we had all this kind of time, and we were lucky we still had some races here in SA. But I actually was all ready to do my marathon debut in, I think, in 21. I was all ready to run the Gold Coast, and then, you know, and I'd done these huge sessions that I've never done before in my life. I'd done these log runs and then 3x5K, and then the Gold Coast Marathon got cancelled, you know, just before they had the blue like finish all laid out, and the event got cancelled. Then I couldn't do my marathon debut then. I had to like wait another few years and had a few more injuries. But then I was kind of like, no, I really want to do a marathon now because I was ready to do one. I didn't get to do one. So Berlin kind of felt like I was ready to go in 21, but the opportunity came along in 23.
Yeah, and you do speak fondly of this half marathon, Tara. I just wonder, and if it sort of changed in terms of where it sits. I feel like the marathon was so glorified for many years, and still is to a degree. But
Yeah.
I feel like it was a stepping stone, the half there, for a number of years to get to the marathon. Whereas now, elite runners like yourself are actually targeting these races instead of just targeting a marathon. Then we chip in a half and then throw in a 10K. That the half is becoming a, I guess, a more respected durational distance event out there.
Yeah, I love the half marathon distance, and I guess it features at the World Road Running Championships. And I guess because I came from sort of being a 5K, 10K runner, I feel like to run a good half marathon, you've got to be pretty fast over like 10K and 5K.
Yes. Yeah. Well, speaking of trying to get fast, let's get to some of your training then, because yeah, I'd just love to hear now in the last couple of years with the marathon in Berlin, the official debut, and how it's looked, but also like how it's been periodic in the sense that it may ebb and flow through the year, and you know, up and down in mileage and intensity, and how you cater for that. Obviously, that the half of the marathon are coming up in results online and those sorts of things, but are there little 5, 10K even? Do you pop up at a park run and those kind of things, or is it just literally half marathon for Tara and marathon in your mind and on the agenda for the last, you know,
Yeah.
2, 3 years?
The last year it has mainly been half and marathon, but I haven't meant for it to end up that way. I should probably hop in and do do a 10K more. And I do like once a week, my Tuesday session is my faster session, and that's targeted at running like more like my sort of 10K, like 5K, very much below the speed that I need to run. And I find that I need to do that once a week to sort of make my marathon and half marathon pace even feel like, I think running faster makes my threshold work feel more manageable.
Yeah, so Monday to Sunday then, what's your setup there, and do you find that the Adelaide runners do anything different to any part of runners around the country in Melbourne, or say any Brisbane friends you may have, or anywhere else?
I think we've got a few different squads here, and they all, I mean, I guess a lot of the principles we follow are all the same, but they all have slight sort of variations. And I had two coaches when I was younger, but because I had such long durations out of the sport with Achilles tendon surgeries, and the rehab was so long and slow coming back, and I really had to listen to my own body, I kind of fell into my own kind of coaching training thing, where I sort of just come up with my sessions myself with my partner. And I have a club and a squad that I run with a bit, but I sort of do my own thing a bit. So I guess I can only really speak for what I do. When I was younger, I used to do used to do sessions on Tuesday, Thursday and Saturday, but I feel like my tendons and my body, I just do better having a full 48 hours or more like between my intense parts of the week. So my training setup typically looks like Monday is a pretty easy jogging day where I'll run pretty slow. Tuesdays are usually a track workout, but not always a track workout, but it's a day where I'm trying to do reps where I'm running like well below the speed that I'd need to in a half marathon. So this Tuesday I did I did a mile, minute recovery, 800, minute recovery, 400, 400, three sets of that, and they were fairly fast. Wednesday I do a midweek long run. That's something I didn't used to do. That's, I guess, changed more just getting volume into the week since I've been more of a marathon, half marathon runner. Thursday is a really easy recovery day. So most of my days are easy days. And then Friday is a bit more of a half marathon or marathon, depending on what I'm training for, specific workout, which might be fartlek or tempo or threshold or some kind of a mix up. Saturday's easy day and Sunday's long run with a group.
Yeah, so if we dive into those Friday sessions, Tara, how long do you get, and do you break them up in any way? Is it duration based, like, 20 minutes plus another 20 minutes or whatever, and a float in between? And yeah, how long do those get as well?
The longest ones have been probably about 30K is about as long as I get on the Friday. So what I did yesterday was I did a 10K slow jog warm up, and then I did a 16K progression run. So every 4K I was just chopping it down. So the first 4K were about 3:50 to 4 minute K pace, then 3:40 to 3:50, then 3:30 to 3:40, and then 3:20 to 3:30, just chopping it down every 4K. Other ones I've done a sort of 6x3K. If I'm training for a half marathon, then I'll usually do something a little bit shorter. So it might be a fartlek sort of. One I did just before Gold Coast was 2K hard, 1K float, 1K hard, 1K float. So, and sometimes with the warm up, like the session wouldn't be 30K, but with the warm up and warm down, it sometimes comes close to a 30K morning.
Yeah, right. So leading up to the Gold Coast half, what was the longest intensity, like in terms of the meat of the session that you did in say the 4 to 8 weeks before that? We're getting fairly long, like obviously 30 minutes is often spoken about as a generic like threshold amount. Did you get longer than that in preparation for the half?
Yeah, I probably went up to, I did a 3x5K. So that's about with the jog recoveries in there, that's kind of 52, 53 minutes or so.
And pretty close to the race pace in the end, or more like an effort focus for that?
It's more effort focused, but my goal race pace now, because I did a PB in a cycle, which is 3:22 pace, and I find that is pretty fast. So I usually sort of work into them, and it depends on the feel, and it depends on that, what's the weather like. Sometimes if I'm doing it down the beach and it's blowing a gale, like, of course I'm not going to be able to quite hit the race pace. And also, I guess you're not fresh when you're doing your training session, you're doing it within a heavy training block. So I found before I did my PB in Osaka, I'd don't think I hit that much of my race pace in the threshold sessions. I was usually a little bit slower, but the effort kind of felt like it needed to.
So if we just change topic a little bit here, Tara, and just look at nutrition, even for the half, because the half is kind of a complex one for some people, because the marathon is obviously double the distance and requires a lot more nutrition intake. I just want to sort of see what you do for both events and what you actually take, and has that changed in the last sort of handful of years too?
Something I like about the half is that I do find the nutrition easier. Like sometimes the marathon, I feel like it's just a sort of a running buffet.
It is.
It's hard. Whereas the half, I still like I take on nutrition during, like before and during the race, but it's not quite as sort of grueling as the marathon is. And I guess it depends on, I mean, I look at duration. So for me, the duration of the half is 70 minutes, but for slower runners, they would need a lot more
Yeah,
nutrition,
exactly.
like during a half marathon, if it's longer. Even my through my training route, my general rule is if I'm running for longer than an hour, I'll have something to eat like on like before and on my run. I always eat before my runs, but even on the run, I'll eat as well. And I think that's something I think I've got better at it, but I think the whole thinking around fueling during like how we fuel for our sport has changed a lot through my sort of 20 plus years of running. Like I used to when I was in my 20s, I'd just go out and do 2 hour run pretty close to fasted, and I'd never do that now.
It seriously has. So for a half, would you have a say a gel just before the event and then at some point during the race? Is that what
Yeah,
your
so
setup is?
yeah, my setup is usually I'll get up in the morning and I'll have I usually I my I find some it's very individual how much people can have in their stomachs, but I don't feel that good having lots of volume in my stomach. So I usually have like a I'll get up and I'll have like a Morton bar. I usually have like a full sort of Morton drink, and then after I do my warm up, I'll have a gel. Sometimes I'll have a chew before the race as well. So plus some sports drinks. So altogether, like I'm quite fueled. Like, and I'll usually still do a little bit of a load just the day before that as well. And then during the race, I usually just carry a gel. Like I've got like a top with a pocket, and I usually pull that out around the sort of 7 to 10K mark. I try to get it in a stretch of road that's there's no hairpins and nothing too challenging, so I can they usually just get that in over a K. And sometimes it's hard to get in, sometimes I don't feel like it, but I just think like if I could get this in, I know like probably in 10 minutes time that's going to make like give me a little bit of an extra boost.
Yes, yeah, definitely. Hey, let's get to your running moving forward. And I was just trying to find too where you sit currently in the marathon event itself as a rank. Do you know what that number is, where you're placed amongst the elite women in this country?
I think
All
it'd
time.
be all time. I'm not sure because there's so many. Like you've always like every year you got to add a few more into the list. But I'm on the all time list, so but I can't tell you where I am.
Yes, I found you at, well, 22nd on, it's one of the websites. It's just presented very simply an old school kind of way. Then I've gone to ChatGPT, which is never great with running stats, and you were like you were 10th on that. And then
I'd take that because I don't think I'm that
I
high.
was on the World Athletics website, which is great. That's probably the best point of call, but I just couldn't get the filters right. Either way, you're right up there, Tara, so that's clear. But yeah, I just wonder what your goals are in terms of how you feel sitting there at the moment and where you feel like you can get to, both placing there with the current crop. It's amazing, isn't it? We've just seen so many women, particularly older women who've got kids in the last particularly 5 years. There's the top 10 currently are, there's taken up by about that amount, about six or seven of them, probably all of them. I have to double check. Benita Willis, like, of course, is in there as one runner from the older times. But
Lisa Martin Ondieki possibly is right up there still too.
100%. Yeah, I'm missing maybe a name or two in that. But aside from that, what's the goal with the marathon or even the half?
I feel like I'm like I said, I feel like I'm kind of done with my track running now, and I feel like the roads are where I can really still, like, for me, the ultimate goal is just always exploring like my potential and seeing how much I can achieve. And I feel like I've got a lot of potential and room to sort of grow and develop and explore still in the road and the marathon running. So ultimately, I mean, I'd love to get faster and just make the most of like you said, the depth in women's is so high. I think whenever any opportunities come along, just make the most of any opportunities that I can, whether that's competing in like gold label races like Osaka, whether it's like running personal best times, traveling. So I guess I just want to explore any opportunities and just be the best I can. I feel like there's a lot of room to do that in the marathon and the half marathon still.
Yeah, definitely. I'm just going to throw Karen McCann in that top 10 list, by the way. 2000 was the name that was on the tip of my tongue, and we covered those three. And yeah, just to highlight how of recent times it's just flooded with amazing female talent. You're in the Sunny Coast Marathon, aren't you, coming up in only what, 2 weeks or half?
Yeah, the half
Half
marathon.
marathon, sorry. So beyond the half, what else do we have on the list for this year? Anything?
So beyond the half, I've entered Berlin Marathon again. So
Yeah.
my training since Gold Coast, I've sort of just started. The difference between my half marathon training and my marathon training is not really very much, if anything, just that my Friday session becomes a bit longer and my long run becomes a bit longer. So it's a bit more volume, a bit more specific sessions. So targeting Berlin Marathon in September.
Yeah, so going for a time here, can we get faster than the PB? What's the goal?
Yeah, I'd love. I mean, Berlin is, I think, different marathons, you have different goals. So Osaka this year, I found it pretty tough the second half of the race. It was snowing, but I knew that I was in the top eight. So my goal for that race is very much like you're in the top eight. Like, and in the marathons in Japan, the award ceremonies always go to the top like eight places. So that was very much like I was racing for a place in that race. But I think Berlin is, I mean, the world record has been set in Berlin before, like in 2023. Osefa ran the women's world record, so it's a race where I think you're there to run fast.
Oh
So
yeah,
PB would be the goal in Berlin.
definitely. And if we just spruik the Sunshine Coast event as well, do you know of any other women running that half marathon as well?
I don't know. I haven't seen any start list, so I don't know. But I'm looking forward to having a crack up there, and my sister, who I coach, is going to be running there too. So it'd be good to catch up with her, and hopefully she can do a PB. And yeah, I'm looking forward to, because I think most years the Sunshine Coast has been the Australian Championships for half marathon, but this year was at Gold Coast. So now I feel like it's not the Australian Championships, so I can feel
And then
like
the
I can
Lons
really have a
Eston.
crack.
Yes, yeah, Lons Eston has become, well, not the champs, but just now they're trying to make that a bit more prominent than the 10K, which has been huge for years too. So you kind of got it across three events. But the, and then now, of course, Sydney is a major, which is going to attract half marathoners
Yeah,
too.
we're spoilt for choices.
Yeah,
But then
absolutely.
at this like little period of the year, all the races are all close together, and then December, January, it becomes a bit, obviously it's a bit hot, but it becomes a bit harder to find races.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So, are you late 30s, Tara, or 40 this year? I was just going to look ahead to the future now, like even longer. Do you want to be running as best you can for as long as you can? What's the longer term picture?
Yeah, I felt like when I was in my 20s, there weren't many sort of like role models to look up to. It was
No.
very much like most people just sort of turned 30, and then it was like, okay, you go on with your proper career now, or you have a family and you leave the sport. But the thinking has completely shifted. So I kind of feel like I've had I don't know, almost like it's just so much longer than I ever thought I would in running. And my goal is to keep on running competitively for as long as I can. But I feel like you, whether you're in your 20s, your 30s, or your 40s, you never know exactly how long you're going to have, because the sport and life can just throw such curveballs at you. So you've got to sort of make the most of every year and your opportunities. But yeah, I feel like, I mean, I ran a PB this year. I turned 40 this year, so I ran most of, even my track PBs were over the age of 35. So I feel like I can still run fast. It takes me a lot longer to warm up now than it used to when I was young.
Yeah, I love that progression over such a long time because your running age is quite young, and a lot of runners who, and recreational too, who start late tend to improve because they haven't done much running for that long, but you
Yeah,
have, and you're still
I've been running for
improving.
26 years and I'm still running PBs,
Yeah, so it's inspiration to the listeners out there who, are around an age of late 30s, 40s, and you've got a handful of women in the 40s elite. So Sinead's almost, she's 48-ish, isn't she? She's closer to 50 than 40, certainly. So it's
Yeah,
just.
Sinead and Lisa have got, yeah, and Lisa Waitman's running so well too. So there's a lot of people to look up to.
Yes, and she's been at Sunny Coast a lot in the past. I wonder if she'd be there. I've got no idea what she's up to at the moment, do you?
I think she's running Sydney, but I don't
Yes,
know beyond that.
Hey, just to finish with that Sydney becoming the major event here in the country, was that something that were quite happy about? Obviously, Gold Coast has been big, Melbourne being big over the years. They're probably your top three, right? You're an Adelaider. Is that the name for an Adelaide person? Adelaider?
Yeah, we'll go with
Are
that.
you looking forward to seeing how that progresses as an event in this country?
Yeah, I am. I feel like Sydney is a good, it's a logical choice for World Major because Sydney is an iconic city, which is what World Majors are about with that beautiful skyline. And I know when I did Berlin in 23, like Eliud Kipchoge was running, it feels like when you get the big name runners to a city, like almost this kind of fever just comes over city and people, like even people who don't run, they start talking about, you know, people who don't run will start talking about running because you get this kind of, you know, Stefan's running there, Kipchoge's running there. There's going to be so many big names and it's exciting.
Yeah, and I just wondered too, like out on the course as well, you've been to international marathons like Osaka and even Gold Coast now. I was in the half marathon myself, as we spoke about earlier, but even riding around on my bike on the Gold Coast morning, I just noticed that almost the entire route for the marathon, which is kind of like two out and backs for the Gold Coast run, that it was kind of the streets were lined. I just wonder if Sydney's going to make it a real city event and we get people there who aren't even runners or followers of the sport to get involved as well.
Yeah, that I feel really the biggest race I've had there is Berlin Marathon. The streets are thick, like you're running a whole marathon with crowds the whole way. You almost don't know where to throw a gel on the side of the road because there's so many people and they
Is
have.
that vastly different, sorry, to Osaka, in terms of the course being populated with people, Berlin?
The court, I think Berlin was a little bit more populated, but Osaka was still quite populated and very Japanese people like dressed in costumes and all sorts of funny distractions when you're at the, you know, the 30. I find like once I get over 30K, like my brain, you know, becomes hard to count how many Ks you've got, and the crowd can become a big sort of distracting in a good way factor.
Oh,
Yeah, I thought the
definitely.
crowds are a little bit thicker in Berlin than Osaka, but they're still pretty big at Osaka.
Yeah, it's exciting moving forward, and so many runners that I'm looking forward to, and I'm sure you are too, that are competing in that event. Not yourself, Tara, hey, Sunny Coast half coming up, and good luck for the next few years, and hopefully you continue to follow that trend of improving, particularly in that half and marathon event, and it must be inspiring to have so many other elite women out there that you can chase, and those who are most of them chasing you as a runner right up there in this country. So I do appreciate your time, and I'm sure the listeners have too.
Yeah, thanks for having me on for a chat.
Know the local legend in running podcast to online coaching. If you're interested, jump on Instagram and follow the links or give me a DM. Would happy to talk further. Thanks for listening and tuning in into the podcast.